Let's stand together for just a moment. You all grab one another's hands. There's a sweet spirit in this place. Amen. And you know, when we worship together, we can never, we don't ever want to fall into a routine where we just kind of sing the songs and then hear God's word and then walk out. God's doing something with this church right now. And I want to know, are we listening? You see, it doesn't matter if a few of us listen. We all got to start listening. In listening that God has got something tremendous to do in your life. I believe personally, after a time of prayer, that a great movement of God is not going to come through great preachers. I believe the era of piling into Colosseums and having some celebrity preacher preach to you is over. I tell you where it's going to come. It's going to be God's people. Everyday people that do everyday kind of jobs. Living God out in a powerful way in the midst of everyday life. And you know what? If you really look back in church history, that's when the church was at its best. Not when it was organized by professionals, but when it was released by the power of the Holy Spirit in everyday people. It's always interested me. Jesus called everyday people to be His disciples. He did not have one preacher in the bunch. And God, all you got to do is hang around some of them for a while and you'll realize why Jesus made that decision. He wanted to show the Father's love. And He wanted people to know Christ and Christ alone. You've sung about that all morning. So let's listen together. Let's pray. Lord, right now as we touch one another, as we're reminded today, God, that You are a God that gives. And Your nature is a God that gives. I want to pray right now, Jesus Christ, if there is one human life in this place at this moment of time, that they would consider deeply the gospel of Jesus Christ in their life. And Jesus, please forgive us, and I know that You will, but Lord, we've distorted You so bad. Lord, we've been so religious and so this and so that. And God, I just pray in the next 6 months, as we move toward Advent season and beyond, God, that You would really break our hearts where we might be a people that would be known more for our love than our activity. That would be known more for the miracles that You cause than the things that we can do. And God, I just pray that You teach us today and that we all might listen. Amen? All right, you all may be seated. Thank you so much. I want to thank you, first of all, for being here today. Because you know what? It doesn't happen until you show up. I want you to know that. How many of y'all are willing to show up? How many of y'all have ever said to yourself, you know, I would like to do something great for God. I really would like to be a part of God's great service. Well, guess what? Show up. The first step in that is show up. Lord, I'm available for You to do something great with me. Now, this contradicts everything that we're taught in leadership. We're taught that you have to be a special somebody to do something great. And here's where Jesus changes it. He says, I can take anybody and do something marvelous. How many of y'all are anybody just waiting to become marvelous? Now, watch this. For every one of you that are a follower of Jesus Christ, you've already been made marvelous. You've already been made that way. You know what my job's to do? Is to coach the Jesus out of you every Sunday. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to coach the Jesus out of you. We've started football season again, and you know what? Deep down inside of some of these boys, there is a football player. It's just real covered up right now. And deep down inside of us, guess what? There are really great things of God. But how many of y'all would agree there's probably some things that cover it up? Things we hold unto. How many of y'all got some things that you just think you can't live without? You just can't live without these things. Boy, I got them. I see it every day in my life. This morning I had one. Coffee. We even promote it here at Hillview. Part of our worship incense is chlorine and caffeine mingling together in the atrium, the presence of God. In fact, I'm not sure that the mist that was in the tent of meetings for Moses was not one giant holy coffee pot exuding the aroma of God from heaven. Yeah, we all got things we hold on to. And so the next four Sundays, we're going to be looking at a nature a reality of a nature that is in every one of us. If you got the, how many of you got your little give sticker? Okay, why don't you go ahead and pull that out? Give. Boy, it's a word we hear a lot. Give. Give. That is a nature of God. That's not just an activity of God. That is the nature of God. That is one of God's essence, to give. How many of y'all glad to know that we worship today a God that will give? Now watch this. I'm going to show you how true this is. How many of y'all glad to know that we worship a God that has already given? Now watch this. How many of y'all worship a God that has given you enough to do great things? Watch this. I'm going to blow you away. We don't need any more to do something great. And I'm going to encourage you in this. We need to use what we have. And before we can go on with God and see the great things, I'm just telling you, there's some ways God does things. You got to give it up before you can get it on. And that's in everything in life. If you want to be an A student, I know we started school again last week, and I'm glad to see that we started school, you know, wonderful thing, but guess what? If you're going to be an excellent student, what do you got to do? You got to give it up. You got to give up things you want to do. To read a book. To listen to a teacher. To expand your knowledge. Before it can happen, you got to give it up. Everybody understand? The first step into giving is, I got to give it what? Now, I don't know what your it is, but you got to give it up. Now, I'm just going to ask right now in the name of Jesus that Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, will show you what your it is. Kind of interesting, isn't it? Osbrook, you have an it, and I have an it. Gary, you got an it. Jim, you got an it. Pastor Mark, even though you've accomplished academically, you still have an it. Bethann, you have an it. Snail, you got an it. Probably two of them. How many of y'all got some its? Now, let me say why its are dangerous. Its create ifs. I could do this, but my it causes me to start speaking ifs. And we start bargaining with God. How many of y'all ever bargain with God? God, if you'll do this, then I'll do that. You know what God does? He laughs. Because you know what he really could tell us? I'm going to do what I want to do and you can't stop me. How many of y'all realize you got a God that it not only is unchangeable, but you have a God that is unstoppable? And until we give it up to a God that can do it, we'll never understand God. And I think we live in a day and age in our gospel, we got a God that we think might do it. And see, we got to step in and give it up and get a God that will do it. When I read this holy text, guess what? I see a lot more God saying, I will, and not I might. He says, I will. He says, my will. So I'm going to take you to Exodus chapter 4, and we're going to talk about what do you need to give up? Because part of giving is giving up. Now, I'm not talking about quitting this time. I'd never preach on quitting. I'm talking about giving it up. Now, Moses has had this encounter. Moses was wandering around the desert, and he was watching sheep. So he was a what? Shepherd. He's a shepherd. Thank you, Trey. You made an A today in worship. Moses was a shepherd. Now, why would God get a shepherd to lead his people out of Egypt? I mean, didn't he have some kind of Egyptian movie star he could have used? I mean, didn't he have some kind of political party he could have used? Didn't he have some, I mean, he could have used Pharaoh. I mean, Pharaoh had the goods, the ritz, the glamour. And Pharaoh had a lot of money. But why did God get a shepherd? I'm going to show you something. It's logical that God got a shepherd. You see, Moses had been wandering around for 40 years with the sheep. And Moses knew how to function in the desert. And Moses had a degree in desert life. And people that live in the palace, they don't know anything about the desert. But Moses knew something about the desert, and God knew where he was going to take his people. And before he took them into the promised land, there was going to be 40 years of the desert, and God needed a desert leader. See, some of you all are leaders in areas that you won't realize because you so confined yourself to what leadership is. You know what? In the church, everybody wants to be on a praise team. Even people that can't sing. We don't want you on the praise team if you can't sing. But everybody wants to be up here because they want what? What do they want? Oh, no, they want lights. Because we live in America, and if you turn the lights on somebody in America, they'll do anything. Lights don't mean anything to God. He encounters Moses in the dimness of the desert. Nothing spectacular. Moses out there by himself with sheep. I mean, what are the sheep going to tell? And he had this bush begins to burn, but it's not being consumed. Moses goes, I've never seen a bush burning, not being consumed. Now, Moses had seen bushes burn. It's a desert. It's hot. Bushes ignite. You know, little tumbleweeds. Poof. But he had never seen one that kept burning. And this one kept burning. He goes up to the edge of it. And the bush talks. Now, this would have freaked me out to hear a talking bush. I may could have handled the eternal flame, but a talking bush. And then when the bush says, I am the Lord, take off your shoes, Moses, you're on holy ground. Now, I want to go somewhere with you. Now, guess what? How many of y'all realize you're on holy ground all the time? How many of y'all are on holy ground all the time? Or do y'all do this? Okay, I'm going to step into the world, then I'm going to step into the church, and that's holy. I'm going to step into the world, then I'm going to step into the church, and that's holy. Did you know that denies the gospel of Jesus Christ? When Jesus Christ stepped here on earth, every place he stepped became holy. May the same be with you. And Jesus stepped in some places he wasn't supposed to step. And what was he doing? Leading people out of sin into life. Now, let's go with Moses. What's Moses fixing to do? He's going to get a commission from God, a call from God, a decree from God that says, I want you to go free my people out of Egypt. I've heard their cries. I've heard their misery. I want you to go do a great thing. I want you to free my people. Now, this is a big task, especially since you've iced the guy in Egypt already. Moses murdered a guy. How many of y'all have ever felt like this? I am unworthy from my past to do any great thing from God. If y'all ever read in the Bible who God really used, it will scare you if you're a church person. Moses was a murderer. In fact, his murder got him in the desert. See, when you grow up in Pharaoh's house and you kill one of Pharaoh's people and you're not of those people, and you, like, Pharaoh knows your name because you grew up in Pharaoh's palace, okay? And Pharaoh, did I tell you Pharaoh knows your name? And Pharaoh has the power to do what? Kill you. See, this is so hard for us to understand in our politically correct society that we've developed. Guess what? Back when you're under a Pharaoh, they don't have an appeal for the death penalty. And they don't have like a 30-year delay, and they don't have 400 attorneys that come in and try to argue your case. Guess what? Pharaoh says, I want you dead, and you are what? Dead. Now, Moses wasn't a dummy. He said, Pharaoh is going to kill me. I'm going to run. And he ran all the way into God. How many of you this morning are on the run, and you're fixing to run into God? Let me tell you something. You can't run fast enough to outrun God. You can't run sneaky enough to outrun God. You can't run quiet enough to outrun God. You can't outrun God. Now, some of y'all are running in here. You keep running, doing all the same things, all the same things, all the same things. And guess what? There's going to be a point in time you're going to have to give it up. Well, Moses gets his decree. He says, Moses, I want you to go get my people out of Egypt. And we find Moses in Exodus chapter 4 with the dialogue of today. Did I tell you today, you're going to have to give it up to get it on? He'll be there. Some things we need to give up. Once again, I'll tell you this. Can you imagine if everybody gave up a tithe? Now, I want you to see the power. I'm tired of y'all not seeing the power in the name of Jesus. I want you to see the power. Everybody tithe in Bowling Green, Kentucky. There are no homeless people. If everybody tithe. I want you to see the power of this. Mr. Martins, if everybody tithed, we wouldn't have puzzle pieces or anything. Guess what we'd have? We'd already have a building up in the air. It wouldn't even be a consideration. You wouldn't even have to do hoorah or nothing. It happens. As your pastor, I will call you to do this, to tithe. Because guess what? One day Jesus is going to ask you, what did you do with what I gave you? And if all you got is an attic full of stuff, I don't think he's going to be well pleased. I mean, if all you can tell God, I drove a nice truck. God, I had a good time. How many of y'all realize this? That God is not really concerned about your good time.
Well, I'd blow you away as an American.
Especially one my age, because our whole life's been designed so that I might be comfortable and have a what? Good time. I mean, why do y'all think we do drugs? So we might have what?
Good time.
It always amazes me that we got to get out of our head to have a good time. Maybe there's not much going on where we are. God wants to get something going on in your life. And in Moses, he's been called to free these people out of slavery. How many of y'all have ever been in slavery? Guess what would put you in slavery? The it. Whatever it is can get you. How many of y'all got something that's gotten you before? How many of y'all have ever had something get you that your mom and daddy told you was going to get you? And it what? How many of y'all have never listened to somebody that wanted to bless you? I remember a few years back, a long time now, when Blake was a little boy. He was 2 years old. We were camping at Dell Hollow. It was hot. So we didn't have a campfire, but we had a lantern sitting where the campfire was supposed to be. He had a little popcorn machine. We told him 1,400 times, do not touch that. You know how you do with a two-year-old? Hot, 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 hot. Right, so here he goes. See if it doesn't sound just like us. Takes his, you know those little popcorn popper things? He's got that at the campground, and he's taking circles around this lantern. In each circle, it gets a little closer to it. Isn't that the way we sin? Now, we fly by it on the outside on the first round, and then we kind of slide into the next track, and before too long, we're staring right at the object, the it. And then in a few seconds, and Elizabeth and I, we stay up late, and probably we should have been, you know, chastised for having a two-year-old up at 1 o'clock in the morning running his popcorn popper around the campground, and the next thing we know, guess what he did? He touched it. And when he touched it, he had a Pentecostal experience. He started speaking in tongues. He started screaming. And it was a scream that woke everybody in that campground up. He touched it. Now, why did we tell him not to touch it? Why would we do something like that as a parent? Can you believe this? We psychologically damaged our child. We told him no. We didn't say, go touch the lantern so that you might have this experience in life and know not to touch it again. We said, don't touch it in the first place because we want you to be delivered of what would happen before it even happens. We love you that much. Well, Moses is in that encounter. Same question we ask. How many of y'all have ever asked yourself this question? How will somebody know I'm really saved? How many of y'all have ever had that question? I mean, how will they know I'm saved? Sometimes at Hillview, people come out of some strange places and they look at me and they go, Pastor, will they know that I got Jesus? Oh, yeah. Well, Moses has had this encounter with God, but he's got a big task. And he's asking this question. God, how will they know what you've told me is from you? How many of y'all doubt yourself? Boy, I think we all do sometimes. What do you think? I'll speak for you today. Hey, how many of y'all have doubted yourself before? Watch this. I want to encourage you today. When you give it up, I'm not asking you to rely on yourself. I'm asking you to believe in your God. And when you believe in your God, you can give it up. It may be a habit. It may be a thought pattern. Guess what? There are a lot of things that are damaging. You know, everybody always in the church goes to drinking, smoking, chewing, and doing. I understand. Most of us are aware those are dangerous. What about being positive with people? How many of y'all need to give up your sorry, negative thought patterns? No, hold on. How much freedom would you have if you gave up your sorry negative thought patterns? The church has more negative, prudish people in it than any other place I find gatherings of people. Some churches I go to, people have just been, I don't know what's happened to them, but they're mad when you preach to them. They're scowled up, and it looks like, you know, if they're married, it looks like they hadn't had sex in like 50 years, and they're frustrated with life, and see, you've got to give it up and live. Now, what's God calling Moses to do? He's calling Moses to give something up. Guess what he does? Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?" Oh, man, how many of y'all have ever had that struggle? Come on. I've had this struggle. Moses is one of my favorite characters in the Bible. I relate to this dude. I mean, sometimes God tells me things to preach, and I'll go, "God, how do they know that's from you? They might think I thought it up. Lord, they might fire me." You know, when I've asked God about them firing me, you know what God does? Laughs. He said, "You got a job. I got a mission. You need to get rid of your job and get in my mission." That happened to me in 1991, March the 10th, 1991. I walked into this little church, and there's some faithful people gathered. They were faithful. There were about 30 or so of them faithful. Note the word. What did I say? Faithful. Now, let me tell you what. They had given up a lot. They had to give up more than a tithe to just keep the building open. They were faithful. Everything looked glim. Everything looked like it was over. It looked like bondage had set in and there was no way to break the chains. But they heard a word from God. "I'm going to do something beyond your imagination." God sent this young, crazy preacher to this place. A preacher that shouldn't probably even have been preaching. And he believed that God could do something great out of nothing. That's all he believed. He didn't have any skills. He had two things going for him. He loved God and he loved people. And that was it. I didn't even know about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I grew up a Baptist. Stuff had happened to me all my life. And I just thought, well, it just happens. Then I had some good teachers, old women, that began to teach me God's flow. But I had this question. How will they know I've been with you, God? They'll know. How many of y'all really want to have an encounter with God? Guess what? There's a prerequisite to encounters. You got to be willing to give it up. Y'all want to see worship move in here like you've never seen it before? Guess what? Some of you need to give up your voice and sing. Some of you need to give up your tithe and praise. Some of you need to give up your ears and actually listen to what God's saying. Some of you need to give up your fault-finding mission every Sunday morning. How many of y'all come to church going, "Well, I wonder what's going to be wrong with it today? What the air is going to say today that offends me?" If you're wired like that, everything. And I do it to the glory of God. I'm on a mission to rid the kingdom of God of prudish people. I have this vision that one day there would be a church that people would be so filled with the love of God and so filled with the power of God that nobody would have to ask who they've been with. But they would tell everybody who they've been with. Well, Moses wanted to know, how are they going to know, Lord, that what you've told me is for real? Then God asked Moses this earth-shaking question. "Moses, what is that you hold in your hand?" "It." What do y'all hold in your hand? Can I just make some suggestions? Kevin, you hold in your hand the greatness of God in your life. What do you think about that? And a cool radio voice. Look at all the wonderful things that are held in this congregation. You with me? What did God do with you? If God asks and says, "What are you holding in your hand?" Ayers, what are you holding in your hand? You know what I found in life? God gives everybody something.
That's right.
How many of y'all found it? God gives everybody something. Amen. And I found this. The older I get, the least of these become the greatest of these. How many of y'all found that with age? Oh, when I was young, I went for the shine, the gleam, the bling. As I get older, it's simple things like iced tea, brewed correctly. Given to you by somebody with great love. You know, it's amazing to me as my memory doesn't fade, but it focuses. And I look back, I don't remember the things that were supposed to be grand moments. I remember the little things that were grand moments. How many of y'all have this same problem? Will you hold your hand? Will you hold your hand?
Then guess what God asked Moses to do? It's crazy. Well, he answers him, Lord, it's a staff. Now, you got to understand, if you're a shepherd, you got a staff, and the staff is very powerful because the staff is part of your protection. How many of y'all got stuff thinking it's protecting you? Huh?
Come on, images, attitudes.
How many of y'all try to create an image? You know what, Hillview, I prayed this prayer, and I pray we'll pray it together. Jesus, we want one image in this church. Yours. We don't want to be Hillview. We don't want to be Bowling Green. We don't want to be Kentucky. We want to be you. We want to look like you, smell like you, touch like you, live like you, have miracles like you. Now you see a miracle. I believe in, how many of y'all still believe in miracles? I do. Am I not crazy? I mean, here I am, a 21st century preacher, fully educated, exposed to technology, have read the Bible, I still believe in miracles. And I believe the reason we don't see miracles is because we don't throw stuff down. We want to hold on to what we have and see God do something great. We want to have our faith in what we think is right, and then we want to see God do what He says is right. That does not seem to be the pattern. It's not the pattern of salvation. What's the first step into salvation? Throw it down. Jesus looks in our lives. He says, Steve Ayers, you're a sinner. You've sinned. Your nature is sin. Your thought pattern is sin. You lean towards sin. Not only do you lead towards sin, you practice sin. But I have an offer from heaven from you. If you will throw down your sinful life on the ground, I will pick it up. I will pick it up. I will touch it. I will deal with it. I will put a new vision in it. I will redirect your life. But before that can happen, guess what you got to do? Boy, it's as scary as Moses. Well, you holding your hand, Moses. Lord, it's my staff. Oh, God, don't take my staff. It's kind of like me. Oh, God, don't take my Copenhagen. Don't take it, Lord. Don't take it. Please, Lord, have some in heaven. Please, please. Throw it down. Ooh. Sweat be breaking out on me when God asks me to throw stuff down. What about y'all? Huh? I mean, the first time a bunch of people here raised hands, I thought, oh, my gosh, I'm pastoring a holy, roly church. Guess what God had to do? Throw down your previous image of church and let me show you my way.
God, they got their hands up. They look silly.
Ayers, I'm not as sophisticated as you think I am. I'm not going to bend to your will. You got to bend to mine. See, Moses was worried about what they were going to think. What he should have been focusing on is what God had said. How many of y'all miss a blessing because you're worried about what everybody else is going to think, what everybody else is going to say, what everybody else is going to do? Have you ever thought about what God said? He said, you're saved by grace. He says, you're free. He says, you're destined. He says, your citizenship is in heaven. He says, you are flowing with the love of God, overpowered by the Holy Ghost, and anything is possible in your existence.
And we just sit going, just as I am, without one plea. And God's saying, get up off your knee and go live out what I've destined you to.
He threw it down. Guess what it became? Oh, thanks, God. There's a seeker-sensitive God. Oh, there's a God that's worried about my comfort. I'm glad I wasn't Moses. If I'd have thrown my staff on the ground, he'd turn it into a hissing snake. Nobody in human history would have run as fast as I could have run as a human being. Because I don't like snakes anyway, but I definitely don't like snake made by God. Yeah, that's next. Watch this, you got to give it up even if it seems ridiculous. Some things seem ridiculous. I think you need to read your Bible every day. What's the response to that? Well, you know, Lord, I don't have time. Well, then turn Oprah off. I mean, I would trade Oprah in for what God said. Or do you think she is God? Pastor Harris, you don't understand. She's like given like $10 million to help people in Africa. God gave his son to change people in Africa. Amen. Forever. This message. Throw it down, Moses. He threw it and it became, guess what the scripture says it becomes? A hissing snake. Why couldn't a snake have at least just been quiet? The snake is making noise. Look, Moses threw it on the ground and it became a snake. And Moses did what human beings are supposed to do. Run! Run, Forrest, run. Run, Moses, run. How many of y'all have ever run away from what God could do? Now here's the moment of change. When you give it up and it becomes a hissing snake, God will tell you something else. Pick it up by the tail. What do you all do when God becomes illogical? At least God could have said, pick it up by the head. Any good snake handler knows you get it behind the head. Now, don't y'all start picking up snakes. It's not necessary. We're under grace. But if you get it behind the what? Head. You don't pick it up by the what? Because if you pick it up by the tail, what will happen? It will bite you. Guess who knows that? Why? He's seen a lot of serpents in 40 years. This is not his first encounter with a snake. It's not his first rodeo. Guess what he does? And when you give it up and then do what God says, you will be secured for your destiny. Wow. I mean, how many of y'all going to go to heaven and you'll be able to say this? God said, do you give me what I asked for? Yeah. Isn't that cool? God, you needed 10, I gave you 10. In fact, I figured I was a good enough sinner. I went ahead and threw a little extra in on the side just to make sure everything's covered. Did you give into my word? Yeah, I gave into my word. Lord, I prayed to you all the time. God, I hung out with you in life. I lived a life. Some people around me got better. I died, and here I am. How many of y'all want that story? Keith, I'm glad you gave God what he wanted out of you. I mean, when you were over in seminary school with Dr. Paige Patterson, do you think you were going to be a worship leader? You didn't know, did you? But you started playing the guitar, and then your hair got real cool looking, and all of a sudden God called you to be a what? We would have missed that blessing today if you'd have said this, no, I got to preach. But you were willing to throw it down and say, God, I will preach in whatever mode you give me. I would rather be effective than recognized. I would rather set the people free than feel good. I don't know about y'all, but I don't think it feels good to be around snakes. How many of y'all have good feelings when you get around snakes? I don't. How many of y'all realize that we have walking snakes in our culture? How many of y'all realize we meet them every day? Who talked to Eve? Serpent, a snake! What's worse, there's two of them that talked. I'm glad snakes don't talk today, aren't you? I was preaching this sermon in North Carolina one time. A lady came in to me and she said, I was very offended how you spoke poorly about snakes. I said, well, you just had to be offended. Because I said, I'm going to tell you right now. Any snake gets near me is a dead snake. She said, you mean you'd kill one of God's creatures? I said, I will cut its head off and swing it around to make sure it's dead. She's one of these tree huggers, you know. She said, what about the worship of creation? I said, girl, you out there hugging a tree. You have made a tree your God. Now think about this. You got a God that I can make a dining room table out of. That ain't much of a God. I got the God that made that tree and made that snake. And if you go read over at Genesis, he told me to put my heel on its head. But then God changes the rules and tells Moses, no heel to head, but hand to tail.
Now, I found out anytime you grabbing the back end of anything, it's dangerous. Y'all got this? So don't be grabbing unless God says what? And he hadn't said it too much. I don't know what y'all was thinking. I was talking about like grabbing the back end of a pickup truck. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Snakes. They're killing our culture, guys. Let's deal with reality. It's killing our culture. Pick it up, Moses. So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake. I don't think it was that easy. You know, I've had these preachers, people think faith works like this. You know, well, I just walked up and here's this hissing snake, and because I believed so much in God, I grabbed it by the tail and it became a staff again, and I sang Victory in Jesus, hymn number 475. Does it work like that for y'all? I remember when God called me to preach. I knew he'd called me to preach. Guess what my answer was? No. I said, God, I'll talk, but I ain't going to preach. I'll be glad to do an FCA talk for you. I'll be glad to talk out in the community about you. I'll be glad to do one-on-one witness. But please, God, don't make me go to church every Sunday. Have you been? It's awful in there, God. They're all waxed up, stuffed up, stretched down. I had no idea that God was going to form a church out of all you crazy people. I love you guys. Eventually, if you will take the step after you've thrown it down to pick it up, it will not be what it used to be. And you know what God was doing right there? Teaching us about salvation. See, God does salvation all the time. All the time. Lieutenant Reverend Bishop Blankenship. Is not God all the time trying to free his people? Because, Nathan, we all the time getting what? In bondage. You know why God did this to Moses, in my opinion? You have to be free before you can lead somebody to freedom. And Moses wasn't free because he's worried about what? What they thought. Have y'all gotten this yet? I'm not worried about what Bowling Green thinks. And I know some of y'all wish I was. You say, well, Pastor Ayers, we're not reaching some of the cultural elite in Bowling Green. Because you know what? Most of them don't want to hear, you got to throw it down. They want to say, I want to keep what I've gained and have what God has. That's all of us. But God says, you got to throw it down and let me remake it. So today I ask you about your it. A hissing snake became the rod of God. Wow. As soon as he touched that snake, it became a staff again. But it was not the staff that he threw down. It was not the staff that he threw down. He was holding on to a stick. And now he's grabbed hold of a stick touched by God. And with that stick, he raised it up and the seas parted. With that stick, he hit the rock and the water came forth. With that stick, he leaned on it in a battle so God's people could prevail. With that stick, he raised it up and millions were healed. With that stick. Did it been touched by what? God, I got to close. How many of y'all sometimes just feel like you old stick? And throw it down today. Sebastian, as you don't understand, I got a lot of struggles. So did Moses. Throw it down. Give it up. let God get it on. Folks, we're sinners. You know, we can sit in here and pretend we don't do stuff. I'm going to be real honest with you. Have y'all ever heard me come in on Sunday and say, I've had pure thoughts all week long? God's calling some of y'all personally to throw it down today. Personal call. Amen. Throw it what? Down. You know what I believe? It'll put sweat on your forehead. It'll get you real frustrated. But as soon as you drop it, it'll feel like it's a snake. I'm not going to kid you. And after you step into your salvation, you start living this new life for the first 3 or 4 weeks, sometimes it feels like everything has gone awry. And then all of a sudden, in the midst of the dust and the chaos and the confusion, the shining light of God breaks through. Amen. You know what it reminds us of? Our life is not our own anymore. It's been touched by who? God. All things are possible. Does that make sense? So you know what? I want you all to just go live, and I want us to keep kicking it up, and let's get prepared for some great ministry. By the way, I got to warn you, these chairs are fixing to all be filled in here. Pastor Mark, they're going to be filled. You might have to buy some more chairs. Or get some lawn chairs. I don't care. Balcony's going to be full. That's at 8 o'clock. We're having 4 services here on Sunday. You know why? We're not going to quit reaching the world. Now, guess what? We're not having a big church so we can have a big church. We're having a big church because there's a lot of people going to hell. Y'all understand that? There's still a lot of people going to hell in Bowling Green. Now, here's what's so sad. Most people don't care. If you've never told somebody about Jesus, you know why that is? You don't care that they go to hell. Don't give me all this. Oh, I'm scared. I'm frustrated. No, I'm a bull. I think it's 2 things. First of all, you don't believe there's a hell. And second of all, you're still so self-absorbed that you're just worried about your own destiny. And let me show you something. When God touches what you throw down, I got to close on this. You will no longer be concerned about what they say, but you'll start being concerned about where others are. And you'll want them to be in the flow of God. Now, Hillview, you've done a great job, man. I am positive plus reaching people for Jesus. Guess what? I got to tell you, though, we're not done. How many of y'all realize? Shake your head or something. Don't give me the deer in the headlight look on this one, okay? So, yeah, that's right. We're not done. And we got a university to reach. Isn't that cool? We live in a town where God ships people all over the world to hear. I'm so cool in our church that we speak in tongues, Spanish, Korean, all kinds of different languages. And I'm going, God, why did you give these beautiful people to a country boy like me where English was problematic? Throw it down. I will speak to them. I know French, Russian, Bosnian, says God. I know how to parse my verbs and speak in such a way that they will understand my grace. You just show up and keep throwing it down. And I'll take it the rest of the way. Have you heard God today? I don't want you to hear me today. Have you heard God today? How many of y'all saw your it when I asked Jesus to show you your it? Okay. How many of y'all got an it? This is the worst place you can be. Pretending you don't have an it. Because everybody's got an it. Dr. Earl, you even still have an it, don't you? And like Noah and you got off the boat together, didn't you? And I mean, it's been a long time, but you still got a what? I mean, you just married a lot younger woman. I understand that, okay? We all got stuff. We all got it. I guess what I'm going to ask us to do as a church, let's just keep giving it to God. And I will say this. I think it's personal. If you notice, God examined Moses' weakness all by himself. And it was this absolute personal encounter with God that gave Moses the strength to go see Pharaoh. So I'm going to ask you today, you just have that personal encounter with God and say, God, these are some things I need to throw down. Now, I want to talk to you. Obviously, in a crowd this size, not everybody here is going to heaven. Guess what, man? We're committed to you here at Hillview. We want you to go to heaven. We would like for you to get saved today. You say, well, what's the hurry? We don't want you to be in hell any longer than you need to be.
which is none at all.
You say, well, Pastor Steve, I'm an Episcopalian. Well, whoopity-doo. I'm a Southern Baptist. Oh, gosh, that's got a lot of merit. You can't even get two of them together without an argument. Well, I'm a Methodist. We're very organized. I'm a Presbyterian. We're predestined to be there. I'm whatever. I'm a Catholic. We've been around a long time. I'm a follower of Jesus. He took my sin, my shame, my disgust, my bad decisions. Give it up. And then guess what? God's going to give it back with a whole different perspective. Some of you today are going to come for baptism, and man, I encourage you to do that. Here's what we're finding about baptism. We try to study things. Guess what? We've been watching this for 5 years. People that get baptized, guess what? They get on with it quicker. You know, I wonder why that is. Well, God asked you to do what? Be baptized. Now, for some of y'all, that sounds just like throwing your staff on the what? Does that make any sense? You say, Pastor Ayer, is that water going to save me? No, it comes right out of the tap. It's got chlorine in it. But that water is a confession of who saved you. And I found when you step in that water and you say, you know what, I've been buried in Christ. Throw it down. Buried. I think to really get the, we're not going to do this in baptism, but if we really want to get the feel, we ought to hold you under till you run out of breath. You'd really understand your salvation. Because what I was into, what I'm burying would have killed me. Be buried in Christ. Oh, Pastor Jamie, but then be risen in Christ. And when we're risen in Christ, just like that old stick Moses had that did great things, now you are God's possibility, a living creature of heaven that can do great things here on earth. So guess what? Go do them and be them and live them and celebrate them. In the name of who? Jesus. Be forgiven, my friend. Be loved by God. Give it what? Y'all with me? I'm ready to give it up so a bunch of kids can come to church here at Hillview. How many y'all ready to give it up? And I want kids nobody wants. I want kids that nobody wants. She said, Pastor Harris, you go crazy over. I was one of them. And somebody wanted me. And my life's been changed forever. So if you kid here today and you feel like nobody cares, I want you to know there's a God in heaven that does. And if everybody else has bailed out on you, I want to tell you somebody that won't bail out on you. His name is Jesus. And you don't have to go get on drugs, and you don't have to have illicit sex, and you don't have to tear up your life before you get to Him. I want you to know that God will take you where you are. Because the guy that I'm talking about today, Moses, he was found in a basket as a baby, adopted by a king and commissioned by God Almighty. I'm going to tell you today, God wants you. And He died on a cross to show you how bad He wants you. You know what He's waiting for in America? And I don't think it happens till it hits the ground. How many of y'all catch it before it hits the ground? When it hits the ground, and it becomes a hissing snake, and you hear those soft words, Dale, pick it up by the tail. You did that when you became superintendent, didn't you, Dale? Those first days, it became a snake. Pick it up, Dale Brown. And then it became a blessing. Well, Elizabeth and I have had seasons in our marriage, man. God said, throw it down, and we threw it down, and it became a snake, and it didn't even look like we were going to make it. And then He says, pick it up. It's a rod again. It's a rod again. So let's let God have His way. Let's stand together, Lord.
Somebody here today is going to receive you and give it up. Hear me. My friend, it does not matter what you've been into today. These words, compliments of Jesus Christ, will change everything. Dear God, I'm a sinner. I've done everything you didn't want me to do. But right now, Jesus, this prayer will help you get started. Right now, Jesus, I'm asking you to come into my life and save my soul. Throw it down. He'll pick it up. He'll touch it. So let God have His way. Maybe right now, there's just this agonizing thing that pesters you. The it. How many of y'all come just at the altar? God, here's my it. And if it's a snake on Monday morning, I'll stand there till you tell me to pick it up. And if it's still a snake 6 months from now, I'm not going to pick it up till you tell me to do what? Pick it up. So let God have His way. In the name of Jesus, this altar's open. Won't you come? Come to be baptized. Come to meet Jesus for the first time. Come to celebrate the victory of God in your life. Come to give up things that are holding you back. Come to give up those negative, nasty attitudes that keep you from living a full life. Come and let God have His way, will you? Let Him have His way. Come on, people are coming. Come on, church. Come on, there's a lot of celebration here today. Come on, give it up. Give it up. What would happen if I didn't stand there today? That might be your question. What would happen if I actually prayed and participated in the altar today? What would happen in my life? Come on, let God have it. Let God have it.